Hello, everyone. I'm flying solo this week as Lara is off in the fatherland, retracing some sort of family steps there. But I'm taking things rogue. I'm taking things in my own hands, into my own talons, and I'm flying high, I'm flying free, and I feel really good about this. So I hope that you'll come with me on this journey and, save your stones and wait till the end to lottery me. But thankfully, I have some help. We've enlisted a soldier of culture to come in and offer us some insight into the Vanderpump multiverse. He's a friend of the pod. Patrick Sandberg is here. He's a screenwriter, he's a creative director, fashion maven, cultural barometer, all that. And he's here to help us recap this week's episode of VPR. Patrick, thank you for joining me.
Wow, I'm honestly frightened.
Are you feeling a little nervous?
Well, I haven't podcasted in a long time.
That's okay. I mean, I think that's actually better because it's if you're sort of like plodding along in the podcast world like we are, sometimes you can get a little rusty. So I think having a fresh voice is really good.
Yeah, and I was just thinking about how I've seen every episode of Vanderpump Rules,
Yeah.
which is my dark shame. So this is a little bit like therapy.
Dark shame, but also I would say you're a definite scholar.
I remember things.
Yeah. I'm, for some reason, doing a rewatch of seasons 2 through 4 of Vanderpumps.
How is that? Did they like shoot it on celluloid? Is it like watching an old movie when
It
you
kind of
go
it.
back when you go back there?
I mean, it also just, it's crazy how dated the 2010s already feels. Just with like fashion and everything else. It does have that like grainy wartime quality to it. It's very dreamlike. They're in Hawaii right now for Jackson Tom's birthday.
I also just feel like, in the digital era, now that we can't really differentiate by the available film stocks. I
Right.
think that eyebrows are a replacement. You can really trace where we are by what's happening with eyebrows.
That's actually really, yeah. What would you say is like the trajectory of eyebrow in the last 40 years?
Downhill for sure.
Yeah.
It's just a steady decline. It's wild.
What's your favorite era of eyebrow? Because you're sort of like, I feel like you're like an archivist of,
It's
an
really
archivist of like culture, fashion, trends.
right. Once again, I do remember things. I think that women's eyebrows were at their most handsome probably in the early 90s. There seemed to be less of an awareness that eyebrows were something that needed to be done, and therefore everybody looked better. Maybe even, everything leading up to then. It was around the mid 90s when we started seeing eyebrows being heavily tweezed. The tweezing kind of took over. And then around the mid-aughts, everyone wanted bushy eyebrows again. So they started becoming very drawn on, tattooed on.
Right.
We saw like a lot of makeup, a lot of threading, a lot of dyes. And I think that it kind of hit peak insanity around 2017 when you started to see everybody's eyebrows, become laminated is the term, which is like as if they stuck their finger in an electrical outlet and all of the hairs just stood straight up, but in like very perfect
Yeah.
lot, and we're still getting away from that, but you're still seeing it. So I feel like when looking at an old season of Vanderpump, you are probably seeing like a heavily manicured, drawn on brow.
Yeah. I think no one is more telling of the brow moment than Sheena. Like, especially in
Wow.
early seasons, her brow game slash eyeshadow was just like sort of peerless.
If I close my eyes and I imagine Sheena,
Yeah.
she has no eyebrows. Is that weird?
No, I see her as like a ba sometimes I close my eyes and see her as like an infant with like
It's like, how do you define a sunset? Do you know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
like
What just because you do, I mean, you've been like in the game with like magazines and editorial and fashion and like, I mean, you were a big New York fashion person. What spurred on the shift from like natural to heavily tweeds in the 90s? Just like sort of like the supermodel thing, like had that started, or like the 90s models like being really tweezed for editorials?
Probably. Everything probably starts in Paris,
Yeah.
at some point. I think there was like, when you look at nostalgia cycles and the 20-year cycles, things happen in a way that becomes increasingly manic.
Yeah.
So, like, the 70s were really big in the 90s, but it was like the 90s doing the 70s doing the 1920s, if that makes
Oh,
sense.
yeah,
So,
like flapper girl eyebrows.
it was definitely like a Galliano influence,
Right.
a kind of flapper type of thing, but then being paired with 70s vibes and updated for the 90s, it was a mess. I mean, we saw it also with Sydney on Melrose Place. She was kind of like the ersatz post Lady Miss Keir, like 60s, 90s character on television. It like a very strange, specific reference, I know, but we didn't have Vanderpump Rules back then. We didn't
Well,
have reality TV like this.
yeah, funnily
So.
enough, I felt Sheena's reference in her outfit last week at Hotel Ziggy was giving Lady Miss Keir a little.
I'm noticing that they were almost, well, I'm probably exaggerating. A few of them were wearing Gautier, which I found strange, like as if they had coordinated it.
What, who would you say? So,
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Have you ever crossed paths with Kelly Catrone?
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, she's like, we've talked about Kel on Earth on the show, but for anyone who hasn't watched Kel on Earth, like, it is probably, it's definitely like the foremother of Bravo shows. Like, it's a pioneer reality television show, and it, to me, is like a classic Bravo one, or I think it was only two seasons.
I put it in the same category with like a few shows that were killed before their time, like
Gallery
that should have
Girls,
Gallery Girls,
NYC Prep.
exactly, all incredible shows.
I mean, I feel like Kelly's kind of having a renaissance a little, or at least a small one. I see on like queer social media.
Yeah.
I think the Gen Z kiddies are rediscovering Kel on Earth on TikTok.
I wonder why that is. I kind of have a theory, but I
Well,
think that like everyone has been so coddled and everything
yeah.
has become about, like feelings are facts and,
Yes.
disagreements are violence, etc.
Yes.
So there's something about her. If you have to cry, go outside. Tough as nails, straight talking, day drunk kind of persona that is newly appealing because, you know, the pendulum swings.
Yeah. Are we heading back to like a, if you have to cry, go outside mentality?
I hope so.
Like, will Gen Alpha be like robotic again?
I heard a rumor that Gen Alpha, that they're full nihilists. Burn it all down.
You're like, I was talking to these 7-year-olds and they were telling me
they don't
give a fuck.
They were quoting Nietzsche and they were like, yeah, they were like, gaze long into the abyss, honey.
Yeah. They're reading
Spilling.
They're reading Infinite Jest and Anne Rind.
Prozac Nation.
Yeah. I know. I'm waiting for like an Elizabeth Wurzel to emerge from that generation.
And I hope when she emerges that she's 11.
Yeah. I want an 11-year-old writing about like...
Prozac addict.
Yeah. I want an 11-year-old who's just like a savant at like aging herself up. And I want her writing about like I want a Joan Didion who's in 7th grade.
Just like mainlining sulfates. Like she's like peptides are over.
Yeah. Yes.
Death cannot approach faster.
Exactly.
You know? Rapid aging.
Do you think Summer Moon is
cigarettes
a nihilist?
Summer Moon is a hostage.
Do you think she's smoking cigs already?
It's probably really hard with that cast on her arm. not to talk shit about a 3-year-old, but
yeah,
what a klutz.
Yeah, she's so sloppy. No, I'm triggered. I'm like truly triggered by Sloppy Joe. That was the meanest thing I've seen come out of these.
I mean,
crew in a long time.
It was mean. Beyond. But it was also classic James. And like when James can be very, very quick. And sometimes he's so quick that he says things, I think, before he internally vets them.
Yeah.
Which is his superpower and his Achilles heel. Because, you know, he'll offend everybody.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it will be very clever and kind of genius.
Yeah, I'm watching, obviously, James's first appearance is season 2 of Vanderpump when he starts dating Kristen. And you realize so quickly how no one was prepared for him. Like this, the older kids in the cast, like especially Jax, they cannot figure him out. It feels like he's running on fumes.
He's from a foreign country.
He's running, like, he doesn't have an agenda, but he somehow is 3 steps ahead of everyone.
Yeah, and, like, even though he's younger than they are, he somehow, like, he was around for Britpop.
Yeah. Well, also...
He knows everybody, you know?
Yeah.
There's old mates, you know? Noel and Liam.
Yeah. No, I was Googling him, and I knew his godfather was George Michael, but like I was looking at all these photos, like his dad and George Michael were cousins and his mom was a model and like she was this like kind of, what's that Amanda woman who was married to Duran Duran? Amanda, who she was like a socialite girl in Britain when she was like a teenager.
Not Amanda de Cadenet.
Yeah, her. She's okay. She was sort of like a C-list Amanda de Cadenet.
Right. Well, the thing about England, and this is for the English listeners, so they'll immediately agree and they'll understand.
We've got a bunch.
Yeah, it's, you know, that everybody in England is related. They're inbred.
We've discussed this at length.
Yeah. Courtney Love taught me that. So you kind of... she's obsessed with it, too. But, like, you kind of, like...
Are you friends with her?
You meet one English person, and then suddenly you connect 2 dots, and it's the crown, you know?
Yeah. Everyone's... you friendly with Coco?
On and off.
You have a role. I mean,
one can be while remaining sane.
I'm not going to make you like blow up your spot with people, but I know that you have like a Rolodex of acquaintances that make my jaw drop.
Totally. Burt Reynolds, you know, I'm just kidding.
Faye Dunaway.
Yeah, my life is like a Hollywood delusion.
No, but it's genuine.
It's true. I know a lot of people. I partied a lot, okay? Like in my teens, 20s, and 30s.
I mean, the first, I don't, you might not remember this, but the first time I ever met you in person was at a rave for Lady Fag.
Wow. Oh my God. I don't remember that.
I mean, I was.
Why would I?
I was on a lot of drugs, but I remember being like excited to meet you because you were like a cool New York faggot.
That's why I've never been that into ecstasy, like when it comes to drugs, because personally, anytime I've ever taken E, it's just like a memory eraser. Like, it's not even fun for me because I don't remember it. I don't remember it being fun.
Everyone has
delete.
Such a, yeah.
Delete forever.
Everyone has such a, okay, Grimes. Everyone has such a individual journey with ecstasy. It never made me not remember things. It just made me really annoying.
Me, I probably am as well. I just don't remember. And the reason why I bring it up is because I remember being at Lady Fag raves and not remembering them because I had taken ecstasy.
Yeah.
So it might have been one of those nights.
People are like, who is Lady Fag? And to that I say, you had to be there. It's a New York.
Totally.
Just like Gallery Girls, it's a New York of yesteryear that will never come back.
I know. She's like the Steve Rubell of gay guys.
She is.
Except he was a gay guy, but
she you know was what a, I mean. Yeah, she was like this iconic
gay guys.
Nightlife specter who had armpit hair and like...
Not was, like as if she's dead. She's still at it, you know?
Yeah, she's still going. But I just mean like, I feel like that was a real moment. She was the
11/11 was crazy times for
oh,
sure.
Oh yeah.
One of the last great parties in New York, I think.
That was my favorite party. Anyway, what's been
I went,
like...
What's I went your... to jail once after 11/11.
No.
We're not telling that story. Suffice to say, you had to be there.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
What is your... Like, what's one piece of pop culture celeb? Because we have like... We'll have like long voice note text combos about things happening, and I always appreciate, I think you always have like a really apt take. What's like one thing happening right now that's like got you either sus?
Okay, well, I'll tell you. Well, the things that I pay attention to most tend to be crime. So
Nancy Grace.
I'm so Nancy Grace. Nancy and I are on the same page. And right now, the page that Nancy's on is P. Diddy. And the thing about the Diddy scandal is that I'm actually not up on it, and I'm embarrassed. Because that's the type of thing that normally I would be all over. It's like a big celebrity scandal. You know, the FBI is involved. Everyone's talking about it. There's obviously a lot to unpack. But I'm behind the times on that. One thing that I do want to talk to you about and get your opinion on, because I find it so obnoxious, and I don't mind talking shit because I don't know this person, and I feel like they're inviting it by what they're doing, is like the nonstop daily headlines about Rebel Wilson and, you know, her various, you know, coming clean about things that nobody asked about, like... That she was a virgin until she was 35.
No.
You know, the other day it was like, Adele has always been a bitch to me.
I saw that.
You know, I only became fat because no one would take me serious as an actress because I was too pretty. I knew I couldn't be Cate Blanchett, so I decided to gain weight so I could be fun. Like, making up these things, it's like, what is she? She's like so humiliated about her career that she's having to now kind of explain it all away. It's like, girl, what is up? What's happening? Are you okay? Are you well?
This is actually extremely on brand for Sup, so I'm glad you brought her up, because we've both, Laura and I have both questioned like the rebel of it all. So these are like, she's hurling truth bombs at us from her new memoir, if I'm correct.
Right. Isn't she a little young for a memoir?
Well, we don't know how old she is. Remember, there was like a big debate of how old is Rebel Wilson.
Oh.
No one really knows.
It's not like she's over 60.
We don't know.
Fair.
She could be literally 68 years old. And we don't know. And not that there's anything wrong with being 68 years old as a woman. But like, I find her to be... I'm very... The Adele quote I saw yesterday, she said Adele always turns her she turns away whenever Rebel walks by, and she feels like Adele doesn't like her because she's fat.
Wouldn't you? Who among us?
Who among us has not turned their head from Rebel Wilson? But also, Rebel is like really skinny. Like, she's really fit. She's. I mean, I understand it must have been.
And she's a lesbian now, right?
She's a lesbian, or she's married to a woman. I don't know. Which tracks for me.
I just don't understand the impulse. And listen, everyone is entitled to tell their story.
Right.
Not
everyone.
But, you know, it's like, I feel like when you're a Hollywood figure who's sort of a character actress or someone along those lines, you would normally wait until, like, the end of your career to name names and burn bridges like this. Like, there's something that feels quite desperate about it. At this juncture, it's not like someone like I would never begrudge like Snooki from her memoir because Snooki lived through a bona fide phenomenon, you know, like she was at the eye of the storm of a certain madness that happened.
I mean, she was at
Rebel
one point...
is sort of like, you know, she's kind of an overbooked. I'm not trying to be a huge bitch here. Rebel Wilson's one of those people where she, for whatever reason, has always been given opportunities to lead, like, $50 million films, you know? Like,
yeah.
Big studio comedies. Like, they just keep giving. She has, I think she's had more opportunities than, like, Melissa McCarthy at this point.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand where the fan base is or, like, what the audience is for that. I don't see her on par with, like, Adam Sandler. And so it's just interesting that she has so many complaints.
You know, some people just are, they're just picked and chosen, and they are chosen ones, and she is just one where she will just continue to book. And, you know, she's made me laugh. I still think her Bridesmaids performance was like true lol.
Totally. A perfect movie.
She's provided the lols, but yeah, I'm like, why, you know, I guess we're at a point in culture where we were craving a Rebel Wilson retrospective. And I have to say, when I read the Adele quote, I actually was like, I'm kind of living for this messiness. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm kind of like, okay, this makes me kind of think she's funny. Like, even if she's not trying to be, like, I'm now like fascinated by her because it's just like, why? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You're just like, I almost appreciate the just unnecessary candor and kind of, you know,
she should become an insult comic, you know, like if she I think she should push further in this direction into more of like a Joan Rivers shit talking celebrities direction. Like, I hope this is just the opening salvo.
Yeah. Or like a Kathy Griffin, like where we just have someone, because I think Kathy Griffin is one of the great comedic geniuses of our time. And I just love her, and I think that she was really the true successor of Joan Rivers, I think, and just being not unafraid to talk shit.
Right.
And I kind of think we need someone else to take that mantle, so maybe it is Reb.
I mean, it's Azealia Banks.
True. Azealia is perhaps the funniest person alive.
It's true.
I think she's a... genuinely saying, I think she's like one of our greatest cultural commentators. I don't think anyone can nail something as just as original and just like fearless as she can. And every time she makes a comment, I've just never heard anyone put it that way. When she's on a tear, it's like, I've never heard anyone say these things. And it's
incredible.
And I think I love her music, so I want her to make music forever, but I'm also like, you could just write, she's like the new Susan Sontag or something. Truly.
And it's amazing because it's like, you know, I'm going to bring it a little bit back to James Kennedy here. There's an element of just totally unfiltered free associating. And sometimes it takes her a minute to get there. But out of that comes just pure diamonds.
I mean, when I see the Azalea Insta stories where it's like you see 70s tick marks of like a story, I'm like, oh boy. Because I know it's going to, like you said, I know half of it will just be her sort of like on some sort of unhinged, slightly like detour about some personal grudge with like a producer or something. And then she goes, brings it back. And I'm just like, you're a genius.
I like that she always brings it back to like Indie Sleaze era, like, or pre Indie Sleaze, like freak folk.
Yeah.
Like early 2000s Coachella. Like,
yeah.
There's something that she's such an indie person at her roots. Like, she's such a rocker, you know?
She is.
The way that she, like, her yelling at Beyonce that she should have put Leslie Feist on a track, I was howling, laughing.
Who else did she say?
KT Tunstall.
But then you're kind of like,
one
yeah.
hit wonder, KT Tunstall.
But then you're sort of like, yeah, she should have.
Yeah, it's actually, she's right. It's time for all of that to come back. She's not wrong.
Yeah, she's like, Azalea is true indie sleaze kind of, right? Sort of like, I feel like I equate her to like the Misshapes.
One of her first songs, like at the time when she was first blowing up, like she did a cover of Slow Hands by Interpol. That was like one of her kind of big, you know, blogosphere hits. She was into Interpol. She loved the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. She's like, I think that she raps because she's able to, like because she's so talented. But I feel like the music that she was really into was white people music.
I know she loves Karen O.
Loves Karen O. She did a song that where she was kind of doing a Karen O impression a little bit a couple years ago. That was really good.
I have an embarrassing truth where one time back in the day, before I really like understood her, or just before I think I was like grappling with my own discomfort with the word for a while, but when I was like mad that she was saying faggot so much. And I remember like posting something like, this faggot is a fan of your music. Like, you know, and like, I was like, you know, and I respect that version of myself. Like, I was just grappling with my sexuality and I was still uncomfortable with being gay. So when I heard her be just so like breathlessly dropping the F-bomb, I was very shook in a very like, you know, ninny kind of way.
You were triggered.
Which I, you know, and I, but I think back and I cringe because now I'm like, I love that word.
Totally. And some people are allowed to say it.
She's literally allowed to say it.
And the thing is, I mean, that's the thing about like personal triggers. They're personal. It's like not about the person. It's about you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I often say I don't get offended, which is not entirely true, but in the instances when I do, it feels so novel to me and so interesting that I'm like, my reaction tends to be like, what does this say about me? Like, why is this bothering me?
Let's unpack this.
Yeah. As opposed to like lashing out, which I feel like is also maybe I'm finally about as mature as like a, you know, I should have been at age 20. Now, 20 years later.
Yeah.
The internet kind of also invited a lot of reactionary type of behavior from our generation, I think. But like I said, Alpha is not here to be offended. Generation Alpha is, I think they're going to be more offensive than anybody ever.
I think Sheena is actually Gen Alpha in disguise. Like she
dresses like it. She was like,
well, let's get into this episode. Okay. So I'm Carrie.
I'm not Lara.
And you're listening to Sexy Unique Podcast. Pumpheads. There you go. Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you. Like I'm feeling you. Like I'm feeling you. Sheena is a toddler who's dressed like an adult. Like, I think she's like a toddler on stilts.
She was wearing like a toddler's underwear set from Target, lowering herself into a bath on her lanai in this episode, which confused me in many, many ways. But also, this is something that happens when you have kids, I think. Right.
Yeah, you just want to wear comfort.
You're also talking to them all day. And so, like, there's the mom brain phenomenon of, like, you're relating to this baby or this toddler. And so you have to put yourself on their level.
Yeah.
Which is why you start doing like baby voice and then you start adopting their signifiers.
It's real. I mean, Summer is so cute. She's literally...
probably remember when you start to remember when you were little, when you're with a person like that. I don't know. I'm sure there's all kinds of things that take place, but she is infantilizing herself a little more than she used to be.
But I'm okay with it because her daughter is like, she's a cherub.
I'm going to refrain from complimenting Summer Moon because I think her ego is out of control.
Yeah.
You know, the social media... Every time she says something, you can just see dollar signs in Sheena's eyes whenever Summer does something cute on camera where you're like, she cannot wait to haul this kid into Nickelodeon.
She's Lady Jessica.
Yeah.
She's stage like, mom.
They're pushing that kid to be a star. And after watching that documentary last week, I'm not with it.
Oh, I still haven't watched it.
It's crazy.
I don't know if I can do it. Because that's my childhood.
And like we need child actors or else like, you know, films won't represent reality because there won't be kids. So I get it. But there's something about the machine of child stardom that is a step too far.
Yeah, you know? I think Sheena posting through Summer Moon on her stories being like, why did Tom Schwartz unfollow me? Like Summer Moon posting that. I was like, okay, this is... her alter. This is, you know how people are on posting on TikTok now about having altars? Have you seen this?
There's like a lot of people religious altars?
No, there's people who, there's a lot of mainly Gen Z and millennial people who are on TikTok who claim to be multiple personalities and they have like introduced each altar on TikTok with each pronoun.
Oh, God.
And so I'm thinking maybe Sheena has adopted, it's like she's possessed by Summer Moon.
Is this like when every musician started pretending to have synesthesia?
Yeah, I remember that.
I hear music and I see colors, you know? Yeah. That was really popular for a minute. Or like, do you see this woman who's like coming to terms with the fact that I am a sociopath?
I was listening to Tim Dillon talk about it.
It's like, do I buy it? I don't know. I believe that sociopaths exist, and I'm sure people with split personalities.
Oh, actually, of course.
Am I sure that exists? Not entirely. You know, I've seen Primal Fear. He was faking it.
Right.
It's something that seems like something actors are drawn to for creative reasons.
Yeah.
I don't know about this. I don't know about all the psychological maladies, just putting them out there and owning it. I don't know if that's really helpful, you know? For anybody.
I believe in multiple personalities, but I feel like people who have them are not thinking to like, let's film this, mama.
No, they're murdering people and then they're waking up covered in blood and they don't remember anything. That's what they're doing.
Kohlberger.
It's like, which of your split personalities is the personality that brags about all the other personalities?
The one who's on TikTok. We see Joe and Schwartz. In Schwartz's house, Joe is wearing a giant bucket hat.
It's sort of like a bucket hat that lost its heart on.
Yeah.
It's like a drooped...
It's a droopy hat.
It's like a fisherman's hat made out of raffia or something.
And they're making some sort of, like... I feel like they were, like, cheese doodles or something. They're, like...
I thought they were using a juicer.
I know, but I feel like they were putting, like, savories in there. But but then it's like kind of a golden color and Joe goes, oh, it looks like Butter's poop, the dog. And I was like, if your dog has that color poop, he needs to go to the vet because that dog is eating not good things.
That felt like an excruciatingly contrived setup.
Yeah.
And her being like, I don't know how to do this. Show me. Like, I don't know. What was it's the production sometimes. I mean, I'm going to bring up production a lot, which is not something that you guys typically focus on.
It's okay.
But I have a sort of a producer hat on when I watch things. And I start wondering, like, how big was the crew? They loaded into Schwartz's apartment. They said, we're going to film you guys doing something together. Something cute, rom-com with the two of you because their relationship is a storyline now. And it's like they play with a juicer for 5 seconds and that's it. Like, yeah. How much did they film that day? Why are we just getting this little... The little clips at the beginning of the show, it's like... I just think of everything that wasn't used.
Yeah, I think there's a... I imagine everything else that was filmed in that apartment that day was probably really unhinged or just beyond boring. Uncomfortable and boring. There's probably like 8 hours of B-roll of Joe and Tom just doing clown wow. core. Going, beep, 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 boop, 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 boop. Boop, boop. Look at me.
Joseph.
Him going, Joseph, Joseph, no. And her going, whoa, whoa. And like falling.
Yeah, she's like olive oil.
She's very olive oil. Mm-hmm. Katie, Ellie, and Lala.
I can't wait for her to fall off a boat.
Yeah. He needs me. Oops. What's that song that Shelly sings? He needs me, he needs me. That's Joseph.
That's Joe.
Katie, Ellie, and Lala are doing an outdoor workout at, it looks like Echo Park.
Like fools. So embarrassing.
And Katie was like, I don't understand why people do this.
Me neither.
People want to work out and like, I just want to drink wine. Lala is hosting a water tasting. And I was like, okay, you're my sober sister. Like,
right.
I'm there with you, girl. But I'm also like, I'm not going to make people do that.
Yeah, it's a water sommelier event.
I don't want to punish my friends. Because I'm a fucking addict and can't have lost my privileges.
Like, can we talk about eventizing sobriety? Like, it's sort of like, and you know, I was thinking about it and maybe I applaud this.
Mm.
I'm trying to talk myself into it. Like, you know, it's good for people to socialize.
Yeah.
We're also used to like being on our phones all day and kind of isolating that. I'm like, well, on the one hand, she's doing things like they're doing yoga in the park together. She's having a water sommelier event. It's like, that's good. People are hanging out.
Like, yeah.
Who am I to judge this? But it also feels, you know, like something the producers thought up. Like, hey, you're sober. What if you did a tasting for water?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, why don't you just go have a picnic or like go to a movie or do anything else normal that doesn't involve drinking.
Yeah.
Why come up with this strange new thing? It feels suspiciously to me like Lala is planting some seeds that she's about to disrupt the water space with some type of sparkling water company.
I think you're right on. I kind of had that same thought. This feels
like water is my passion. It's like, since when?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I know. We've all known, everyone knows this about me. I love water.
Water is my thing.
Water is my thing.
Yeah.
I mean, as someone in, I understand it's like hard to find things. Like, I go out and stuff, but it is like, it's hard to find things to be social at when you can't partake. So I get, mm-hmm. Okay, let's try to make like, put like a little fun spin on this. But this just feels... To me, it feels like weirdly reductive, I don't know, of like recovery. Does that sound like really dramatic? I don't know. It just feels like I'm just, yeah, have a picnic.
Well, she also texted them at one point, like, if you want to spike your water, BYOB, bitches. And it's like, okay, well.
Yeah, what's.
Did the producers put a gun to her head and say that too?
We got to get him drunk. I mean, thank God she did, because we got the best episode of the season so far.
It's true. I also really liked, I mean, we're jumping way ahead, but the fact that like after the water tasting, which seemed so low calorie, they ordered Pizza Hut and
I know.
2 liter bottles of full calorie Pepsi.
And ranch.
Well, the missing ranch.
Anne and Ariana have a little chat because Anne is kind of interviewing with Ariana to become her potential assistant. She wants out. She's like, Sandoval makes me do all his dirty work, literally. I have to pick up his dirty clothes. Ariana reveals that Sandoval wears his socks and underwear for days without changing them. And I knew this. I could feel that he's stinky.
Oh, you believe her?
A little bit.
I don't.
No?
I'm here to throw some bombs.
Let's
on Sexy Unique Pod.
Let's do it. No, okay. Look, I had a theory last I was like trying to, I could just feel that Tom's room, he might smell good and like lather himself with like lotions and ointments. And like, I'm sure he smells fresh, but I just mean, I feel like his room is dirty.
Okay. Have you seen her room?
No, their house is, it's hoarders.
I felt like her comments about his personal hygiene were petty and were a deflection of accountability for their debilitated sex life that preempted and in many ways motivated his affair.
Wow.
And I'm going to put affair in scare quotes because I have opinions about that.
What are they?
Which go a little against the grain here.
You're allowed to say whatever you want. You're a guest.
I think Ariana and Sandoval were in a fake relationship. The fact that they were outspoken about the fact that they weren't having sex. I'm sorry, that's not an affair. He got a girlfriend. I think he was actually being really polite, not bringing it up to her. So what about that?
Listen.
Men have sex. Like, it's just a thing. Men and women are different about sex. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. I also think Ariana's a lesbian. We don't have to get into all of that right now either. She's in a new fake relationship. We don't have to get into that either. But I feel like it's actually incredibly millennial what happened, because the betrayal wasn't a romantic betrayal. The betrayal was a betrayal of their brand. I think that Ariana and Tom had gotten so in business together. You know, their house is like their giant Amazon box cluttered, like
hype house.
Merch skewed, like Wayfair chaired hype house. And it's all for the TV show. And then when the affair was, it's not even about him having the affair. When the affair was revealed and found out, it kind of blew up their joint venture that they were in together. And it put the show in, threw the show into question. It also made Ariana have to work at something, you know, which was she had to plan her next moves without him doing it. Like, I just feel like there's so much more going on to, like, why she's hurt about this than what she's explicitly saying. I think that it's, there's like a kind of a party line of the way that she talks about it and what she's upset about. But I think that the house, like the fight over the house, speaks more volumes than anything else going on.
Well, let's just, you know what? I think we should just get, because there's so much, and this is a long episode. I think let's just get to the water.
Sure, sure,
I mean,
sure.
Everything else in between, it's like, Schwartz sees Summer Moon. I don't give a fuck. I think he's so weird with children. Not in like a creepy way, just like he doesn't know how to like talk to children. He's like, they're weird. Why do I have to talk to them?
Well, there was a part that I did want to talk about, because it kind of it said a lot to me in this weird way where I went back, I rewound it because I was like, this is so strange. What's happening here? So Anne shows up and she's wearing a blazer. She has 90s bangs.
Anne has a confessional.
And as a confessional, Anne goes upstairs to say hi to Sandoval. By the way, we actually open that whole setup in Sandoval's home gym with his purple recessed party lighting. And the camera does like a 360 spin and lands on him in like a very audacious...
It was like Ari Aster.
Yeah, it was like... And I want to commend the producers for trying new things. Like, it felt like they were trying to evoke like an Enter the Void type of thing with
it's far and away.
Yeah, it's like his psychedelic
PNP. His like PNP lighting.
His PNP lighting, his like his weird obsession with psychedelia, him having like a personal spiral. It felt like it was like they were trying to evoke something with that. I started laughing. And says hi to Ariana. She goes upstairs and sort of says a few lines to Sandoval of like, hey, I'm just gonna talk to Ariana about some stuff. And he's looking down. He will not look at her. He's unbelievably rude to her. Like, barely acknowledges that she's talking to him.
He's so rude to women.
It's insane. I was like, I've never seen such shitty behavior. Like, it's not even be like, hi, how are you? Like, to someone who's working for you is so disgusting to me. But then I was like, I was trying to wrap my head around why he would be behaving like that. And I was like, is this actually some kind of immature protest against and now participating in the theatricality of like plot exposition at the behest of the producers, that she comes in and is like, here's what's going on. Like, she's telling him what's happening on his TV show.
I think, like, I think that's accurate. I think he's
like, oh, you're one of them now. You've been like sent up here to say this to me. You're mic'd. You're like literally inserting yourself in my show. And this is like incredibly demoralizing, because now this is a plot that I have to participate in, where like Ariana's trying to steal my fucking assistant.
Yeah, I think it's very like me against the world for him, and the stakes are really high, which they are in a lot of ways, but I think he's so backed into a corner that now he's reverted to like child. I mean, he always seemed a little childish, but now extra so. He's reverted to sort of a childlike reaction to when he's not getting his way. And I think you're right. I think it's almost like Anne is weirdly like domming him in this moment. And I think he's like, you're my worker.
And also good for her.
I love it. I think Anne,
like, thank God she needs to get out of that situation. That's for sure.
I think Anne is also like, my dark theory is that she's a producer.
She's smarter than she wants to portray herself. She's kind of doing she infantilizes herself. She just does like a kind of gibberish baby voice thing.
Well, she's also like in her mid-40s. Do you know that?
Yeah, she's trying to like, you know, lower expectations so she can manipulate the situation and go off, because you're dealing with two shitheads here.
She's goofy as a fox. So Sandoval like eavesdrops on their combo, and he gets really mad that Anne like shit talks him. And then
it's giving Shakespeare.
It is.
He's like hiding, listening.
Later, it's revealed that Anne was like bawling to Ariana on the phone because Tom like berated her at the kitchen island.
Okay, and where were the cameras? What is that? Why are the cameras missing all the drama?
I know.
I don't like when we have to take Ariana's word for it with things. I wasn't even sure if I believed the dog story. But now I believe it, because then Sandoval verified it. But
yeah.
I was like, this seems very convenient that the Lala's saying something not even nice, but like generally not totally hostile about Sandoval. And she's like, well, he tried to kill my dog. It's like, it felt like a little one-upping when that happened. But
what I really want to know is, why are they doing this tasting in Burbank? Not that anything's wrong with Burbank, but just this house. I need to not ever be in this house. I'm so darked out by James and Allie and their house. And hippie, in quotes. I'm a hippie truther, and I think hippie needs to go. Justice for Raquel in this moment about the dog.
We saw hippie's devilish side come out when he was trying to murder Katie.
Yeah. he would try to kill her.
But music. Music kills Kate. Okay.
Katie thinks that Brock tried to get revenge on her for spilling the tea that she fucked Big Dick Max. And she thinks it's because Brock is mad that in previous seasons, Katie has like shit on him for being like a deadbeat dad to his other kid.
That was an interesting theory, but I think that Brock gave himself away when he was talking to Sheena about it and bringing up things that Katie had. It's more about revenge on Katie for Katie's drama with Sheena. Mm. I don't think he's hung on to the stuff that Katie said about him. He was more upset about last season, I think.
Brock is very loyal to Sheena.
He is.
She is his queen, and he scares me.
He's also kind of shitty to her, which I don't like. Like, there are things he does where he was, like, sitting with Summer Moon, and he's like, guess what we're doing today? And Sheena's like, don't tell her. Like, don't tell her we're going to the beach. And he's like, we're going to the beach to have fun. It's like, he just undermines her constantly, which I don't like.
Yeah. I think he's, I don't like the way he talks to her in public, and I don't like the way he talks to her mom. I think he's a little bit of, like, a Neanderthal, and, like, woman at home. Woman, you know, so I think he's scary in that way a little. He's loyal to Sheena.
I think it's darker. I think it's like, I think he has this personality of overcompensation where it's like his need to lecture Sandoval, like his need to lecture Katie and call her out.
Yeah.
Blurting out Sheena's secrets to people. Like, he's the moral arbiter of Marina Del Rey because it makes him feel less small for abandoning his previous family. And I think that if he really wants to feel better, he should try and become like a kinder person and a better listener and a little more understanding and supportive. Anyway,
he gets very involved with lady drama. Mm-hmm. And I do think about Yolanda Hadid whenever Ken would get involved with the Beverly Hills drama of the women. And she would always go, why are you getting involved? She goes, my husband would never get involved with women drama. And I'm kind of like,
because he hates you and he's leaving you.
Because he doesn't care. He's already made his...
The ones who get involved tend to stick around. I mean, look at PK.
That's true.
Just saying.
So they're all assembled. Martin is like this like gay German. And he's like, yes, come outside for the WADA. And they assemble everyone on either side. Tom and Ariana are in the same place again, which thank God. He talks about water for a second. He gives a spiel. And then Tom Sandoval, like, he's like, hey, I did that yesterday. And he goes, well, you went to a tasting yesterday? And Tom goes, no, man, I'm just kidding. And then you see Ariana just kind of like leave her body for a second at that joke, which I thought was kind of funny.
I felt that way too. I feel like Tom's jokes are getting worse and worse. It's like, it's very harrowing watching him try and act natural. Like when they were at the beach, James comes up and he's like, cool necklace. Because it's like the mic necklace they have to wear. And it's like, oh, we're on TV. Like, okay. Yeah, we know. Are you okay, Tom?
He's old as hell.
He's really grasping. He just wants to say anything to anyone.
Yeah. I think he and Schwartz are just having a really hard time knowing that like the rug has been lifted up on them and that everyone now knows for sure that they're both like bad guys and not like, because I think Tom really coasted for years on being like the cool guy, the giving guy, the, you know, center of the group, the guy who's always like, come over, like I'm the preeminent host of the party. And Schwartz was always like, you know, I'm just kind of this like non-confrontational, like, you know, sometimes I come off as like a little pussy, but I'm like, I'm really at the end of the day, like, I mean well. And now we know, like, no, you're a rat.
Absolutely.
You're an evil incarnate. And Tom is just an idiot. Tom
and
Sandoval.
He's dyed his hair orange, which I thought was really strange. Yeah. It looks like henna hair dye. And he's wearing like a very Peter Pan looking shirt. I was like, this walking Peter Pan syndrome. Like,
yeah.
Dress your age, my friend.
It was giving like Mr. Rogers meets Peter Pan, and he's kind of giving Aurora Shooter, I'm not going to lie, with like the dyed hair.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's like Schwartz has this really uncanny ability to make you think like, oh, he's harmless, or like I could outsmart him, but like I feel like he's really pulled one over on everyone for a very long time.
And that's why it's kind of crumbling, and I think that's why him and Sandoval are just so unhinged and so like awkward and corny, because I think Schwartz is a lot smarter than Sandoval. I think Schwartz is very cunning. I think Sandoval's he's a big ego, but he's dumb as shit. And I think the two of them are just in this twilight, in this kind of haze of being seen for the first time for who they are.
It's true. And it's interesting to me that Schwartz's charm still works on people.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like I've yet to see Ariana crack a smile at something Schwartz has said, but everyone else seems fine with him, even Katie.
Katie will forever be sort of charmed by him, I think.
She feels comfortable around him. She knows what to expect and how to deal with him, at the very least.
I think Ariana, to her credit, has had his number, maybe.
Totally. Like, she just completely sees through it. There was one line that it was, like, maybe my favorite line in the episode. I mean, there's a lot that we're about to get into. But before the water event, when Ariana went over to Katie's. And Katie, who, by the way, is dressed like full Stone Butch Blues with this like denim vest. She's like
she's truly like Linda Perry.
She's like, you know who she thinks she is, though? She's like Angelina Jolie in Foxfire.
Yeah.
Like, you know, ready to run away with Jenny Shimizu and never look back.
Yeah.
You know, but she's dyke giving on Cherry, a bike.
She's giving Cherry Jones.
She's so Cherry Jones. And she's like, she kind of makes like, I forget what they're talking about, but she made like a segue into what the producers obviously told her to talk about. And I'm going to commend her because this, I'm starting to see through, of course, it only took 9,000 episodes, but I'm seeing through the way that the show is produced and how they have to bring, they're sitting down to bring something up that will be brought up later. And it's like, in this case, she makes a very awkward segue into being like, I don't like this invasion of privacy thing that's been going around. I feel like my privacy was invaded when Sheena was tracking us like that. And then Ariana says, with like the gravity of war, I never had Tom's location. I was like, that's because you look the other way.
I mean, it is like...
You didn't want to know.
You didn't want to know. I think there's truth to that. They were pretty blatant at some points, I think.
I just think there's been... I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, everyone's been too hard on Sandoval, because I feel like this was a long time coming.
Yeah.
And I think that with maybe the exception of Sheena, I think everybody on the show is a terrible person.
Yeah.
But I think that Ariana has really gotten away with being overpraised, lionized, made the victim and all of it. And I feel like she doesn't ever take any accountability for anything, like ever. Whether it's the dog choking on the chicken satay that she left in her room because she's a hoarder, you know, like it's like no one put that in your room. I don't know. It's like at one, if that happened to my pet, I would be like, oh my God, I can't believe I left that there. I'm never doing that again. She doesn't even say little things like that. It's like everything is always somebody else's fault, you know?
I mean, I think just Lala...
Like, you are an adult. Like, this was a relationship you were in. You navigated it a certain way, and this happened. I'm not saying it's her fault that it happened, but no, she played a part in it, you know?
I mean, I think Lala actually says, like, you're the one that left the trash in your room.
Right. Lala seems to be on the same wavelength as me with calling out some of these things.
Well, it's interesting watching season 4 right now, where they are in the show, that Ariana... people are hanging out with Kristen again, and Sheena and Ariana and Katie are having a falling out because Ariana's like, you guys can't hang out with her and hang out with me, so you have to basically pick one or the other. So it's interesting that this is like repeating now with Sandoval, and Ariana's sort of it's a thing, you know what I mean? Like she's had this happen before. And I think, you know, I think what Sandoval did and Raquel did to her, sorry, Rachel did to her, was like really horrific. But right. I do think at a certain point you have to like, you have to just give, at least give other people a little grace. If they choose to want to be associated with this person, you don't have to be associated with him at all. And that's your choice. And that's a respectable choice. You can move out, which she's doing now, which I think is great. But I also love seeing them together because there's good drama.
But also them staying in the house together, that's, she's part of that decision. You know what I mean? It's like there's things that she complains about that she's directly involved in. And I just find that she isn't very accountable overall. And I think that it's interesting to me that Lala is like,
well, she's worked a program.
Exactly. I was going to say, do you think this is because she's been in the program? So she's,
I do.
She takes personal accountability very seriously, because she, even with like, when she was talking to Lisa about calling Raquel, I felt like, as much as that was very produced and felt like it was to try and lure Raquel back onto the show, I think that it was also her being like, maybe I've been unfair to this person on some level. Whether or not she deserved it, was that right of me? I don't know. You know, she questions these things.
She was deeply unfair.
Yeah.
She was, I mean, the barrage against Rachel, I almost said, at that reunion is still, like, shameful, I think.
It was wild.
And some people go through recovery and are still assholes. That's the thing they don't talk about a lot. But I think I can feel the program coming off her sometimes in a good way.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But she's also, I think she's just been, what Lala went through was worse than what, I'm sorry, than what like Scannaval was.
Thank you. That's what I think too.
I think Lala, like the kind of man that she was with, that she had a baby with, this fucking guy who's like basically like a mini Harvey Weinstein, allegedly, and like this custody issue and being a young, I mean, you know, she got involved with a married man. Like, she has that on her, I think. So she knew what she was doing to some degree, but she's a young woman who has a baby and with this fucking piece of shit who has a lot of power, weirdly still. And I think when you have a child in the mix, it just makes things, the ante is just upped so much more. And I think it's humbled her in a lot of ways.
I think it must be really difficult for her to sit and watch Ariana victimize herself to the degree that she is, having been through what she's been through.
Yeah, but and this is a debate. I hear what you're saying. I think it's more the culture victimized Ariana, and she's just, I think she's actually just really savvy in some ways and is like running with it, which I respect. I think the culture around Sandoval, the reaction they did, I think everyone else sort of like, you know, was like, ooh, we'll be like, we love, you know, and like coddling her. And I think she's just like, all right, I'm going to get paid to take out the trash.
Right. And it feels also kind of redolent of like this battle of the sexes type of, you know, like current wave feminist politics of like,
yeah,
nothing I have ever done is wrong. He's wrong. Like, right, fuck him. I'm perfect. I'm a boss. I'm a bad bitch. Yada, yada, yada. Which,
I'm a boss.
Once again, Generation Alpha is going to have some fatigue with that. So she should be thinking ahead a little bit further.
That's next year.
Yeah. But anyway, Tube Tops are back.
Tube Tops are back. Dana is there. Remember Dana?
Wait, there's something I really wanted to go back to for one second. Oh, shit. What was it? I don't remember. Oh, just when Lala, also just interjecting.
Yeah.
When Lala called Ariana out for having the trash in her room, she said, didn't you do a trash bag commercial? Don't you know how to throw trash away? I thought that was really good.
Yeah, I mean, she's...
Touché.
I think, and from what I hear, Ariana and... I mean, I talked about this on the pod before, but apparently they have a huge fight on the reunion.
Oh, good.
So I think they're, like, not cool with each other.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Are you ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? Give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos, and you will rise to the top of the heap, and you will be deified and worshipped for the rest of your days walking this planet.
Because as anyone who has siblings know, that's the only goal on Mother's Day, is to be the favorite.
And if you're an only child, you're still competing with all your other extended family members, and it's important to wage a war and come out on top.
If you're an only child, you're also at war with yourself.
So what you can do is get your mother or the preeminent mother figure in your life an Aura frame. You load it up with photos. It's literally the easiest thing to do. And I know that you might be thinking, ew, digital frames are bleak, but I'm telling you, this Aura frame is chic.
And the best part is it has unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, so you can keep updating your mother or mother figure's frame with new photos. So it's the gift that keeps on giving and uploading.
I gave my mom an Aura frame, and she had resisted for so long because she's truly anti-technology, like barely even understands right. how to FaceTime. And I said, just let me. And I set it all up for her. I plugged it in. I fired up the app. I preloaded pictures on it, and now she's so into it that she figured out how to preload pictures and even runs it from her app, which is truly saying a lot because she refuses to download apps. She thinks everyone's spying on her, stealing her data, and the fact that I was able to break through and she literally loves this frame, like loaded it up with pictures of her cat, I was like, we did it, Joe. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame.
That's AuraFrames.com. Use code SUP at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Nothing gives me naked confidence like being freshly showered, hair blown out, makeup on, putting on my favorite perfume.
Nothing gives me naked confidence quite like getting my parking validated at Equinox after a well-earned workout.
A very close second would be Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. Unlike certain other deos, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet.
And yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi.
Flash forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole-body deo has earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people who love feeling confident from head to toe.
New customers get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. I love Lumi because as a gay man, you need to have your taint smelling fresh as fuck. So with one roll of Lumi, I'm ready to get out there and own the world.
What I love most about Lumi is that it's multi-purpose. It saves its customers money because you're not buying all these different products for different body parts. You can just boil it all down to one super product that takes care of any of your odor issues.
Whole body deodorant with Lumi, seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Your pits, your underboobs, thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet.
It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control over up to 72 hours.
And it's baking soda free and paraben free.
Plus, it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with the code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use the code SUP.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, Princess Diana. But that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Disintel, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Disintel on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Lala is sort of everyone, I think you see everyone, you know, while Ariana. So basically what happens is they all taste the water. Yum, yum, yum. It's all really good. Everyone goes, this is so good. And then Martin is like kind of thriving. This is the happiest he's ever been.
Right.
And then the sommelier departs. The tasting is over. And then, as you said before, they're like, let's get some pizza.
I wish they had hired HRH Collection to do the water tasting instead of this guy. I think her water tasting went viral before he ever appeared. Where he got the idea, but...
I want her to be on a reality show.
Fully. I have a theory about her, though, that she's, like, completely antisocial. Like, if she has to be around people, she'll just not talk.
Yeah.
She only talks to her phone.
Yeah, I think she's not someone I want to be around.
Never.
The worst vibes. Like, I think she's an evil person.
Absolutely.
The guys are like, so, Sandoval, what happened with tea? And he goes, with tea? I don't know. Just chilling.
Cool, they go, cool, they go, bro.
Are you dating other people? He goes, yeah, I'm dating a few people. Okay.
Well, he's dressed like Jordan Knight from New Kids on the Block, looking insane. In his, like, raver candy necklace, aloe yoga hat, pink tinted lip balm, pastel nail polish, flooded raver pants, and his hideous JW Anderson for Converse platform shoe.
Yeah, the aloe representation is pretty wild. He can't stop wearing aloe.
He's fully committed.
Then the pizza comes and the girls are like, did they provide ranch? And Sandoval goes, oh no, let me go check. He's trying to be the hero. Mm-hmm. So he runs out to the delivery man to try to get, and everyone's like, oh, that's nice. And then Ariana goes, he's doing too much, which I was like, you're right, he is.
Correct. Yada, yada, yada. Dana.
I just wrote, oh my God, Dana.
Her hair looked great.
She looked great.
And, you know, things like with Max and Dana still being around, despite being, I guess, fired off the show or maybe canceled, it's all very vague to me in my memory. Yeah. It's weird when you, like, are reminded that this is an actual group of friends, that this is a real social scene, that, like, someone leaving the show does not mean they leave the group.
Yeah, Dana is
very strange.
Dana is, like, Katie's best friend.
Wild.
Like, she's always there, and she's still doing comedy.
And they don't want her on the show because they're too cheap? They don't want to pay another person? Like, what is this? Like, why not just have her back on?
Well, it's kind of like how they said to Peter, who's been on the show since it started, you can come back for season 11, but we're not going to pay you. And he was like, okay.
So he's gone.
Yeah.
Gone with the wind.
Gone with the wind. They're brutal with the show.
It's true. No wonder Ariana doesn't want to pay for anything.
Yeah, I don't blame her. Schwartz has jaundice. Either really bad bronze, like he's wearing foundation, but he has yellow skin.
It might be the shirt and the hair, the combo. It's like,
yeah,
it's setting the whole filter off.
He and Katie talk about her fucking Max, and he's like, Bubba, you really fucked me over with that. Like, that was not cool. He's one of my best friends. And she goes, what do you mean? You did the same thing to me when you hooked up with Rochelle. And he's like, yeah, but I just kissed her. Like, it wasn't even, and like, clearly we all know, like, that was obviously a ruse. And she's like, well, it still hurt my feelings. You did it first. He's like, okay, well, I didn't fuck Rachel. Max is, like, my current really good friend.
I mean, I like that Schwartz is finally saying the quiet part loud. It feels like this has been something that no one is willing to, like, go against on camera. When he's, like, Raquel was barely in the friend group. You know? Like, earlier in the episode, when she's meeting with Anne... Of course, Ariana is giving her same refrain about, like, well, my roommate will be really upset if he finds out that I'm meeting with his assistant, but he didn't seem to care about having sex with my friend while I was at my grandmother's funeral. And it's like, when are we going to disabuse ourselves of this notion that Ariana and Raquel were friends?
Yeah, I think the way everyone was framing it is like, even Lisa was saying it, which I'm like, that makes sense because she's the producer, but saying your best friend, your best. Everyone kept going, best friend. That was your best friend.
She was like, your best friend. It's like.
And Rachel was like, no, we barely were friends. We just like,
yeah,
were around each other. It's still shitty what she did. Like, she was in her house all the time. And like, I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. I think Rachel is.
She was down... her coworker, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that the root of the rage has less to do with, again, romantic betrayal and more to do with being humiliated in the eyes of the public, that he was willing to do this, that this would become a plot on the show, that he essentially was going to leave her for Raquel. It's like, how dare you try to embarrass me? And I agree. I think that's worse. But, you know, they can't talk about the show on the show. So they have to find ways to telegraph the emotional betrayal. So she's like, she was my best friend. And it's like, come on, we weren't born yesterday. I kind of wish they would just go there and talk about the dynamics of the show and how it played into this whole thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the truth, for me, the truth is somewhere in the middle. I think Rachel's downplaying it. And I think Ariana has, like, sort of overplayed it. So I think there's, I think they were friends. I don't think they were that close, but I do think it was enough. They were friendly enough and close enough where it was really fucked up.
And yeah, I mean, Rachel, it was right under her nose. It makes her look stupid, you know.
And it was a violation. Like, she was fucking her in his, in her, she was fucking her man in their house while she was there. Like, it's just like, but I do think
it's disgusting.
The ruse of their, I think Tom Schwartz did blurt it out, so I too respect that. But also, I watched this episode uncensored on Peacock, so to hear them say fuck is so jarring for some reason.
I need to do that.
Katie's like, no, it's okay that I did it, because you never took me seriously, you never took my feelings, you never considered me during our whole marriage, and that's why we are not together. And he's like, no, Baba, I always considered you. And she's like, no, you didn't.
No compassion, no empathy.
No compassion. And he's like, all right, Bubba, can we call it a truce and start over and like get a drink together and be friends again?
And he's like, Mama, kudos for saying that.
He's like, Mama,
For spilling.
Kudos, Mama. And she's like, maybe. And then she cracks a smile. She's like, okay, we'll be friends again.
She's like, babe. And then the shit really goes down. Okay, this conversation is taking place outside. Meanwhile, Ariana is ranting about the dog murderer.
So Tom walks by the group and she goes, well, you know, Anne got fired because Tom overheard, because the attempted dog murderer was eavesdropping on our conversation. And then Tom turns and he has this look of, like, to me, it was scary rage.
Yeah.
Where he was like stone cold rage at Ariana, such resentment. And she got him where she wanted him. And he is
a little bit of fear. I think there was a little fear mixed in there. Because he was like, here's the moment.
Well, yeah, and it's also like, it was cathartic, I think, for all of us watching and for the people in the room, even if it was tense, because it was finally they're having a conversation.
Right, and it was amazing because it happened seamlessly, so seamlessly that he was like, she's talking about me, and then she looked at him and started yelling at him. And in that moment when she was addressing him directly, you just saw Lala's eyes bug out of her skull because she was like so hyper aware of what was happening.
Like, also,
they're having a conversation in front of cameras. Here we fucking go.
Also, the fight felt so intimate still. Like, they still felt like a couple in a weird way. Like, it just had this, like, they're the couple that fights in front of their friends. And, like, it felt so explosive because there was still, like, a weird ownership of each other in a weird way. Like, you know what I mean? It still felt like they were together in some weird way. Maybe it's just me because I'm just used to them being together, but it still felt like an intimate fight that a couple was having.
Interesting that you say that, because I felt the same way, and it actually made me feel like they're not being so silent in that Valley Village house when cameras aren't around. I feel like they probably scream at each other nonstop. They just are pretending that they have this divide where they're not in contact but living in the same house. I don't believe that for a second anymore.
Oh, I think they've had some drag down fights. And Ariana is so angry at him. And she's like, you fucking tried to kill my dog. You are so careless. These are my children. My lawyer will be in touch with you about your attempted murder of my children. And he goes, my children? What are you talking about?
She goes, my lawyer is very professional. Very professional.
This moment was giving Parker
Posey.
Why isn't
your lawyer responding to me? My lawyer is very professional.
It gave me Parker Posey in Scream 3 going, my lawyer liked that.
Yeah.
And it's just everyone in the room is held hostage. No one, everyone is frozen. No one even wants to move a muscle because you can feel the hate, the burning rage and hatred between them.
Sheena was petrified physically. Like she was trembling like a chihuahua. Poor Sheena.
Ariana would say something to Tom.
This fight was harder on Sheena than it was on Ariana and Tom, like, as she likes to say.
Like Scandoval, this moment right here was the person taking it the hardest was Sheena.
Sheena, poor Sheena. She's the real victim here in this fight. Actually, the real victim in the fight is Katie and Schwartz, who are missed it completely because they're still outside. And Katie's like, you made out with Sheena during Indie Sleaze in Las Vegas. You and Sheena.
You and Sheena did that to me behind my back.
Yeah.
How could you do that? And then she's like, what is that noise? Are they screaming in there? And he's like, yeah, let's not go in, Bubba. And she's like, okay, let's go over here into the pool. And then Ariana is just like, she said something to Tom, like almost trying to elicit a reaction. And then when he gives her that, she goes, don't fucking talk to me. Never fucking look at me again. Don't fucking talk to me. Don't fucking talk. And he's like, blah, 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 blah. He goes outside and then he comes back in.
He can't
get enough. They love it. They're addicted to each other.
Do you feel that too? Oh, yeah. But I think that I just want to say, again, focusing on production a little bit, and it's not even production's fault. It's the network's fault. This was the scene that they've been teasing out all season in all of the commercials where they were purposefully misleading about what the conversation was about,
right,
which annoys the fuck out of me. Because in the promos, it has her saying, edited to say, my lawyer will be dealing with you. And my house and my children.
Yeah.
And he goes, your children. And so you think she's talking about her embryos because weren't there embryos?
She froze her egg. She confirmed that on me and Laura's live show, actually.
Right. But actually what she was saying was like, you left the door open and like, that's how you treat my children, meaning her pets.
Yeah. That was a little confusing. That was confusing. I mean, she said before she considers her pets her children, which, like, I get, because I consider my dog my child. But I think it was weirdly, like, almost like a Freudian slip, in a way. It felt so, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, it felt like she was...
It was chopped and screwed. They chopped and screwed that whole conversation, tried to make it seem like something else. And, you know, it irritates me.
Yeah. But this fight was...
But you know what? That's the game.
This was the most explosive... This was the most explosive thing I've seen on the show since Scandoval. We needed this.
Yeah.
They fight
absolutely.
Like, they fight like... Oh my God. Their fighting is charged.
It's really ugly.
But it's also like kind of hot. Am I fucked up?
There are times where I'm watching Ariana and I'm a little bit... I'm on Lala's page where it's like... What is this anger doing for you?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it just seems debilitating in a sense.
Right.
Like, she's not happy. And it irritates me how happy she pretends to be sometimes. Like, when she's arriving at the beach the next day, she, like, makes some comment about how it's hard to walk sexy. And then she does this big fake laugh. She's like, like, as she's approaching. It's like,
yeah.
Girl, no one believes you're having fun for a second.
You're
incapable.
I mean, Sheena says this was the best thing that ever happened to her.
She doesn't appreciate it, though, yet. I don't think. She's not there yet.
At least in the show. I think in real life, she seems like... I like that she's doing Love Island next after Chicago. Like, I think she's having... I think she's getting it.
Yeah.
My hope for Ariana is that she stays in New York.
I think, and I have felt this way all season until this episode, that I think she should leave the show. And... Not because I think she has better opportunities, but because I think that it's not tenable to have this division in the cast.
Yeah.
And if it were real life, if she wants to keep these friendships in real life, you know, which is questionable, but if she does, they can still hang out with Sandoval and have it not be a betrayal because they're filming, which is the same thing they're doing now.
Yeah.
One of them has got to go, Sandoval or Ariana, on the show, I think.
We'll see who it is. The boys later go get Kyle Chan, Sandoval, and Schwartz go get paella together. And Sandoval's wearing the gayest little vest. And he's walking literally like John Travolta, Saturday Night Fever. He's like... He's fuguing. He's completely demented. They have Maine lobster paella at this bar, and Tom goes, man, this is exactly what I wanted.
Said no one about paella. Okay. Yeah. Do you think it's because Tom has wanted fame so badly for so long that now he has it, and even though it's come in this, like, rotten package, he's kind of ecstatic about it?
He loves it.
I think he's appreciating the aftermath of Scandoval more than Ariana is appreciating it. And I don't think that has to do with Ariana being wronged. I think it's just, like, where it's the way that I think some men move on more quickly.
No one is having... Yeah.
The brighter side.
The only person who hasn't benefited from Scandoval is Rachel.
I know, but has she? She has gone rogue.
She's gone rogue, but, like, what... Like, to what end? Everyone in the show has monetized Scandoval except Rachel, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, she's monetizing it, but she's not monetizing it well. I think that, like... And she's really portraying herself as a victim in a way that feels brainwashed. We don't need to get into it. Something about her recovery, whatever program she went to, whatever place she went, she is regurgitating everything they said to her. It doesn't feel like a real inventory is taking place. It's very platitude, surface level.
No one is taking accountability here, Rachel included. No one is taking, like, Rachel, I empathize. I don't like anyone getting, like, you know, the sacrificial lamb is never... I hate seeing that. Even if what they did was wrong, I hate when someone gets, like, stoned in the public square.
Uh-huh.
But I'm also like, you're annoying because what you did was really shitty too, and you have yet really to say that. You were brainwashed by Tom. You were brainwashed by the production. No. Like, I believe that you're a very impressionable person. I get that, but, like, you're a 27-year-old adult. You're an adult. You chose to do this. You got into this affair. She always says, I never meant to hurt anyone. Yes, you did. You hurt someone. You were visiting his parents at the holidays. You were taking photos and lolling at your boyfriend, your secret boyfriend who dressed up like you on Halloween in front of his life partner. Like, you did a lot of shitty things. And she has yet to own up to that.
Exactly. I mean, the person who should be owning up the most is Sandoval.
Of course, of course.
It does feel like he has tried to worm his way out of it in many respects, like as though he had no choice, or as though, like, you know, Ariana pushed him to this. And in effect, what he did was he tried to manipulate a way out of the relationship and into a new one. And I think part of the reason he did that was because he did it to Kristen and he did it with Ariana and it worked in his favor. So if he did it once and was rewarded for it, of course he's going to try to do it again.
Yeah.
And I feel like that all has not been addressed by him.
No, he has a pattern. This is his pattern. He does this every single time. So yeah, Tom's like, this is exactly why I broke up with Ariana, because she was like this all the time. So he's blaming her.
Mm-hmm.
Her scary meanness. She's always like this behind closed doors. This is what pushed me to fuck Raquel, basically.
Wow, so she just gave him ammo by yelling at him
on
the show, and he's using it against her, and nobody's buying it. Okay.
Brock and Sheena are going to be hosting a beach day. And right. Ariana and Katie are like, should we fake our death? Katie's like, should we fake our death so we don't have to go to beach day? I don't want to go. It's going to be dramatic again like last night. But we will go. And Ariana's like, no, I have to go because they're paying me $10,000 to go to the beach day.
Right. And then there's a jump cut to a rotting orange covered in flies, which I thought was an interesting choice. I don't know if you caught that.
That's the Hollywood dream.
That's like a nod to the Orange County punk scene. It's very, like, No Doubt Tragic Kingdom vibes.
Speaking of Coachella. They're performing this year.
Sandoval is composting responsibly in a contrived callback to Ariana's irresponsible incident with the Thai leftovers.
Tom always... he has this recurring thing that if I didn't do it, the house would fall apart. Ariana never... He's like... he's always saying she doesn't do anything in the house. She doesn't clean the... When they were fighting about the litter box in front of people, I was like, you guys are obsessed with each other.
Yeah.
This is sick.
I also think that the producers are like, take the trash out. Like, we want to see you doing like lowly tasks. You know?
Yeah.
You want to show how humbled you are by this, by taking the garbage outside. Lala's using a shake weight. That was random and had no bearing on anything.
And then we get a random cut to dinner with Nana. James and Allie go to dinner with Lisa. And I'm like, I keep forgetting Lisa's even on the show anymore.
I know. I think I missed that scene. Maybe that was a Peacock exclusive.
Oh, yeah. They get dinner with Lisa and James's mom, who is...
Oh, no. Not her.
And she's fully sober, so I respect her for getting her shit together because that was bad. I mean, I remember Kristen claimed that she robbed a bank.
She's patient zero in James's world, that's for sure.
Kristen is his mom. I realized that when they were dating.
It's true.
They look alike.
They sound alike.
They're the same person. And I think James has such mommy issues. Lisa goes, hello, come sit down, tell me of the things happening in your world. And they're like, well, James is like, it was a crazy night at a house. We had a water tasting and Sandoval and Ariana got into it, dolls. They were fighting all the way. And then Allie goes, yeah. And then Katie and Schwartz were fighting because Katie hooked up with Max, and Lisa goes, oh, I've heard things about Max to show me he's very large in some places. If you know what I mean, if you catch my drift.
Are you making this up? I missed the scene.
No, she goes, she's like, I heard, she basically is like, Max is famous for having a huge cock. Yeah.
Wow.
His cock is huge. And then.
Thanks, Mama. Kudos for saying that.
Kudos for spilling. And then James's mom is like, well, she's like, I'm like kind of into Katie banging that guy. I think that's great. The banging's good in my book. And I was like, all right. I agree with her.
I'm sure it is, lady.
And then we get to the beach day, and it's, I think they're in like Doc Wilder or one of those beaches. Will Rogers.
I have one thing I want to say first, which is we're at Brock and Sheena's again, and Brock regales us with an old wives' tale about he and quote-unquote colleagues owned quote-unquote several fitness studios, which they had to close, and then Sheena became the main breadwinner. Sheena became the main breadwinner? She became that?
Yeah.
Bitch.
Lie.
They're like the Flintstones if Fred was unemployed. That's what they remind me of.
I think that's a good... The unemployed Flintstones is a good...
Remember, she's like, you didn't have Play-Doh in New Zealand? And he's like, I played in the mud.
And I was like, okay.
Okay, Fred Flintstone.
I thought he was Australian. I forgot he was from New Zealand.
I don't know dick about this person.
He's...
Or his fitness studios. But I know that Sheena has always made the money in that relationship.
Absolutely. He's riding her coattails. Completely. He got really lucky. Does he give you Dirty John a little?
He's not smart enough for that.
Yeah.
I think that Sheena... I don't know. Do you think they're going to last?
No.
I think no.
I hope so for Summer.
He's a second husband for her.
Yeah.
She's
an Elizabeth Taylor type. I think he's...
Absolutely.
I hope for Summer Moon that they stay together. But if they do break up, I hope they have like an amicable parent. Because... I don't want any child to go through that.
Like his other children? Okay.
Yeah. And they head to the beach, and Ariana goes, despite being like, I'm not going. Mm-hmm. She goes, which I was like, thank you. You are working. You are showing up for this. I appreciate this. You are doing the work. Kudos, Mama. Thank you for spilling, Mama.
We need that, as Nicole Kidman would say.
We need that.
We come to this place for magic.
We come to this place for magic. Before this, I forgot to say, Ariana's interior designer comes over, and like, I'm so darked out by their house. They have things stacked to the ceiling, literally.
Their house is my hell, and not for the reason that everybody else thinks it would be. You know, it's like, there's she's doing an inventory of her furniture, which is like furniture from my nightmares. And we, I was shocked that we actually meet the interior designer, who's ostensibly committing career suicide by revealing her identity on camera.
She outed herself.
She outed herself. You bought the tree stump. Okay. Interesting.
She goes, I feel like that was me. And she goes, you're right. That was you. I was like, she goes, I have a list of everything you've done. You paid for these. And she goes, Tom didn't like these tables. And I was like, I don't like them either.
Oh my God. All the gold metallic accents everywhere. The Art Deco in the wrong places. Like mixing eras.
The house
their
is
weird
a real
tchotchkes.
It's a real hodgepodge.
It's a real hodgepodge. Thank God it's over. Almost.
We'll see if that happens. So at the beach, everyone gets there, and then Tom Sandoval comes stumbling up alone, and everyone's like making fun of him as he walks up, which I loved. When he gets there, James is like, all right, mate, we're going to draw a line in the sand here. And everyone's making kind of light of it because everyone's still traumatized from pizza night. And
I like that we flash back to James throwing a drink on Schwartz the year before.
Yeah, that was great.
You know, it made me strangely miss Charlie. I'm like, where's Charlie this season?
Charlie was great.
It's like, it's a little bit like the Land of Oz, you know? It's like people come and go so quickly here.
I thought this was going to be a wash of a scene, but this, the fight continues.
I thought this was even more explosive. I thought this was more explosive than even the night before. I was like, well, let's go.
What was the thing that started it? Tom said something about, like, that's the only bill Ariana is paying.
About, oh my God, what was it?
He makes some little snide comment. Ariana says something.
Oh, the adoption fee for the dog.
Yeah, she starts coming for him again about the dogs. He's like, you shouldn't have left the chicken satay. I was like, I can't believe we're talking about skewers. And Ariana goes, well, I'm the one that fucking, these are my animals. These are my dogs and cats. And then someone goes, Sandoval, would you agree with that? Do you think they're more Ariana's pets? And he goes, no. And she goes, I'm the one that fucking walks them. I paid for the adoption. And he goes, that's about the only bill you've ever paid for. I was like, oh my God, you messy bitch.
Okay, but to that effect, I did find it interesting that during her meeting with Anne, Ariana was phrasing it as though she wasn't going to fully hire her yet. But she was like, since you're here all day doing nothing, maybe you can, like, she was essentially speaking to her as though she was trying to get work out of her for free. And I clocked it.
Yeah, I felt that was wrong. I felt uncomfortable by that. And someone's like, so Anne is unemployed now. And she's like, basically Tom fired her and she's looking for jobs. So, but I told her between me and Katie, she'll have work. And they're like, oh, are you going to hire her as your joint assistant? She goes, she's going to help us with the sandwich shop. I was like.
And then Tom was like, I didn't fire her. So that was, I don't know. It's confusing. I'm just saying, sometimes I think there might be a little truth to what Tom is saying about Ariana. It may be exaggerated, but I think it's rooted in something.
And I think they've all learned from the master of not paying people. Lisa Vanderpump.
Totally. So
that feels like a very like classic LVP move.
I was like watching the scene very forensically because I was like, I know this is going to explode. And I was sort of like, it was like a small, it's like the ramping up of like the alert level, you know, before like a nuclear blast, like Schwartz being like, she and I got you something and like throwing her a Capri Sun. But like not offering a Capri Sun to like Ariana because he's scared of her.
Yeah.
And then her clocking that moment of like Sheena being nice to Schwartz. And like I was just watching Ariana get like a little more annoyed. Like the Capri Sun breached the dividing line.
The Capri Sun was the first brick.
It was the first brick.
And then someone brings up Raquel and Tom like makes a joke out of it.
Well, there was like a, Tom starts talking about how he's going to go to a singles event.
Oh, right.
And like, I also felt like there was this nervous energy coming from Sheena and James where they're laughing too hard at every little joke that like Schwartz makes because everyone was so uncomfortable that they're trying to like break the tension. It wasn't really working. And then what was the next part? Like, oh, there's a little bit talk about the whole Max and Sheena thing because Katie had kind of set that up that she was going to continue making that an issue, but she was actually being kind of chill about it.
Yeah.
And she says to Sandoval, hey, Sandoval, did you know about that?
Yeah, that was weird that she was like, Sandoval.
Did you know they kissed in Vegas? Did you know?
Did you know this has happened, Sandoval?
And he's like, Sheena's like, everyone here flirts with me, actually, including you, to Sandoval, which was like a really weird and inappropriate thing to say. And then Sandoval said, it's more that you're the recipient of flirtiness. Just very like Seinfeldian, like splitting hairs of like, she's like, you flirted with me. He's like, you're the recipient of flirtiness.
Yeah. Which is so dumb, but also like a really poetic sentence.
Yeah. And then Brock is like, huh, is that what you told Raquel when that whole thing started? And then like, that was when.
And Ariana goes, I think it's fucking disgusting that you're making jokes about that. So thank you. Please don't fucking talk about that in front of me. And Sandoval's like,
It was like actually very interesting because Brock was saying that because in that moment he was like seething with possessiveness over Sheena. Like yeah. Sheena referencing flirting with Sandoval.
Yeah.
So then he got mad at Sandoval in that moment because he's like a caveman and was like trying to hurt Sandoval by bringing up Raquel.
He was and activated.
So, yeah. It was a perfect like set of dominoes falling.
And then it just fucking goes again.
Yeah.
And it's even more nuclear this time because they're on a beach and it's like they can scream into the wind.
And they just fucking. While mic'd up. Yeah.
While mic'd up, they fucking go at it. James and Sheena are very Al-Anon. They're like codependent.
Well, I like that James was the one kind of asking the questions about the pets and being like, you know, do you think they're her pets? And then she's like, I paid the adoption fee. I'm like, this is the information that I want.
Yes, and also, like, you know? They're probably all like, it's a mystery to them, too. They're probably like, I want to know what's going on. This is crazy. So, like, tell us what's happening with, like, the dividing of assets. Like, I would want to know.
Like, if that's what makes them your pets, that you paid the adoption fee, then according to that logic, let's talk about the house. Because, like, I was the one that put the down payment. He starts getting into lawyer mode about it. And I was like, this is actually really good. I want this to keep going. I want to know everything happening in their divorce.
I want to fight an episode like this.
Totally. A whole episode. A sit down.
Well, this is kind of like giving what I wanted on the reunion. Because I know that was fresh like 3 weeks after. So like she was still. But like Tom didn't get to speak. Because everyone was just like, fuck you. Every time he opened his mouth. Which was like kind of funny in a way. But also like I want to know the tea. I want to know like what's, you know, like I want to hear the nitty gritty of like the affair and like. The logistics. I want to know, you know, receipts, text messages, screenshots. You know, I wanted all of that.
Mm-hmm. No, there was that moment too on this episode that when she was screaming at Water Night.
Yeah.
Where she tried to do one of those. She was like, sociopath, disgusting, psycho, narcissist, gaslighter, piece of shit, person. Blah, blah. Like, I was like, okay, we're back.
We're so back. It took 10 episodes, but we're there.
Finally. I want their divorce to be fully televised, like the OJ trial.
Yes.
In court.
Court TV.
I want it all.
Damn. That would galvanize our country in this divided election year.
No, but you know, it's like, Diddy, there's all these things happening at once right now. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there was like the Nickelodeon controversy, which we touched on a little bit. And then like Diddy eclipsed that.
The eclipse, you know, is coming.
Like, there's this one thing is eclipsing the next. And it's all kind of in service of eclipsing the election. Because nobody's going to vote this time.
Yeah.
But we need distractions, I think.
Well, it's like, yeah, whenever there's a UFO dump, there were like... Did you see over at SoCal the other night, there were like space debris falling over LA?
No, because guess why? I was busy watching this. No.
No, it was the night before last.
I was distracted by some other bullshit, I'm sure.
Also, what's weird, just before we end this amazing recap, SpaceX is now launching rockets regularly over LA, and I'm like, this is weird. This feels like Gattaca.
Oh, right. I saw like a headline that was like, here's an explanation for the two giant fireballs that flew over Los Angeles. I was like, huh?
But I'm like, okay, like it's cool to watch because I can see a perfect view of it coming over the hills from where I live, and it's beautiful, but it's also like, what if it blows up?
Oh my God. If one of those, if a piece of shrapnel hit my Jeep, can you imagine?
No, I can't imagine that. And like, we all know Elon's prone, his stuff is prone to blowing up. So I'm like, is this safe?
He's a pyro.
Yeah. He is a big pyro.
Like, that's so, I just gave away my age saying the word pyro. Remember when we used to call everybody pyros?
Yeah.
As a culture.
Yeah. Every boy.
Pyromania was huge.
Pyromania was huge in middle school.
So was kleptomania. Kleptomania. All the manias. Where have all the manias gone?
Remember the guy that was lighting cars on fire in LA? It was like 2 years before I moved here.
That was me. I'm a pyromaniac.
It was Patrick Sandberg.
No, I mean, there was someone doing it like last year. Like there was like, they were going over into everyone's carports and lighting up cars and then burning the carports down.
You're a sick pup when you're a pyro.
It's like, it's really, it gets old, you know? You do it once. You've seen one car burn, you've seen them all.
Yeah. I've seen cars burning. So it's a very LA thing to see a car burn. It's like inexplicably.
It is beautiful, actually. It's like a Salem video.
Everyone in this, I've radicalized our listeners to Salem, I think. If they hadn't already known who they were. Patrick is a Salem head as well.
Move that merch.
Patrick, do you have any final thoughts on VPR, like hopes for the season ahead or?
I hope that the reunion, is as dramatic as last time and yet more civil. Mm. I think I want to hear more being said and less screaming. You know, it was just so unhinged last time. And this time, ostensibly, we will be getting Tom and Ariana back on the same reunion. So maybe this will be kind of what we wanted from the last one.
Yeah.
And there's just something that I've had on my mind all season. I think, actually, ever since James called Sandoval a worm with a mustache.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole slipperiness and his kind of villainy. Who he reminds me of someone in particular, and it took me a long time to figure out who it was. So I'm going to make like a crazy throwback reference to the 60s. Professor Hinkle Tinkerton. Do you know who that is?
No.
He's the villain on Frosty the Snowman. Sorry to just back to the future, everyone, right back to their childhoods, but that's who fucking Sandoval reminds me of.
Wow.
Sometimes. You know, Frosty stole his magic top hat. Yeah, that guy.
This is him.
And he wants Frosty to unalive himself. Well, Frosty is Ariana, and Sandoval's magic hat is fame.
He also looks like Jax.
The chin.
Yeah. Wow, this is a really succinct. This is great. This is literally him. I'm shook, kind of, right now.
He's a little Gargamel, and he's a little bit... Professor Hinkle.
Yeah.
From Frosty the Snowman, for sure.
Professor Hinkle tries to murder Frosty by locking him in a greenhouse. His punishment for Hinkle is awfully draconian. Writing out, I'm sorry for what I did to Frosty 100 zillion times.
100 zillion.
Well, Patrick, do you have places where people can find you?
No.
No.
Don't. Just don't.
Well, you can Google Patrick, and he's written a lot of really cool things.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you doing this. You were a perfect substitute.
I just want to say that I said a lot of mean things, and I'm aware of it. But I think that that's the beauty of Vanderpump Rules, is that these shows, and I feel the same way about Summer House, I feel the same way about Real Housewives, certainly. These people humiliate themselves for our entertainment to make us feel better about ourselves.
Yeah.
You know? It is punching, it's punching down, but it's punching up, you know?
Yeah. No,
they're making lots of money, these people.
We say it all the time.
They're asking for it.
Yeah. We say it all the time. These people, like, the point of the show is recoiling in horror. So I think you're allowed to say whatever you want. You're also a guest, so you can just come in. I don't think anyone's going to think you're being mean.
Honestly, just go off on the Reddit or whatever, because I'm not going to read it. And
no, everyone's going to love you.
We're all free to disagree, you know?
Yeah. This is a fucking... This is the United States of America.
This pod is for Gen Alpha.
Yeah. We're already thinking long term. Mm-hmm. We plan in centuries, as the Bene Gesserit say. Well, Patrick, thank you for joining me. And guys, we're going to do Valley recaps next week when Laura has returned. So don't fear if you're like, why isn't that uploaded yet? But this episode will be uploaded tomorrow, as usual.
Or
today. I know, you should, though. It's so good.
I watched the first episode, and then I tried the second one, and I was like, these lowlifes, I just can't. I don't care if they're pregnant or whatever. I was like, this is just, I can't do it. It's a bridge too far.
It's far, but it's necessary.
It is good to see, you know, what's her name again?
Dodie. Yeah. So good.
Old what's her name?
Old Dodie. I don't have the cult list in front of me. Please forgive me. We'll do an extra special, extra long cult shout out next week. And to that, I say tickets for our summer tour are on sale now. Three shows have sold out in New York, Chicago, and Seattle. Vancouver's close to selling out. We're probably going to try to add some more tickets if available and possibly a new show. I'm not sure, but stay tuned and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith-Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more stuff and just can't get enough and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. Cause I know I'm feeling, cause
I know. The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long-haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.